I will be asking you 4 questions about the situation and opportunities in your country or area. The second one about, then we will be exploring the public policies that are being implemented in your country or region. And then we will talk about the hindrances to the development of your software. And to finish, the perspectives of evolution by 2020. So please, if someone is willing to start, I would like to have an eye on the context, how information technologies are developed and how free software is developed in your country or region, and what opportunities, what specific opportunities does FLOSS offer for your region. Mrs. Mwakanma, would you like to start?
Oh my. Good morning. So now we're speaking English. Okay. How should I begin? I have a flu. That's a good beginning. So I'll be coughing in between. I try not to sneeze out. Some 20 years ago, we didn't have open source in Africa. And I clearly remember it was some 15 years ago, we had what we called the Africa Information Highway. So that was when Africa started with the Economic Commission, the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa, started laying down global policies for information technology in itself, which was basically bringing in internet and all of that. But as of today, what is the situation? The situation is that, like someone was just presenting, the idea of open source has come to stay, basically brought and fired by advocates, the guys who wear jeans and take a stand, all of that. To governments, but we've passed that stage, and countries in Africa have started critical analysis towards adoption of open source policies. South Africa is the biggest economy in Africa, and last year, March last year, South Africa adopted open standards and de facto open source for the IT procurement. The policy is this. South Africa will choose open source. In the cases where they don't have an open source solution, then they will choose a closed source solution. In the case when they have 2 solutions, one open, one closed, the automatic choice will be open source. And in Ghana, the government has approached the Kofi Annan Center for a kind of policy guideline towards adopting an open source policy. And presently, the Free Software Foundation for Africa, where I'm the council chair, have engaged with the, what we call the COMESA. It's this central, southern, and eastern part of Africa. It's a group of 19 countries who have engaged on policy processes with them towards an open source development office in those 19 countries. The opportunities that we have is that we don't have a for or against at policy level. And policy is something that whoever can convince most takes it with him. And that is one thing which is very good in technology. It's not the same as politics. Technology, when it works, it works. When it doesn't work, everybody says it doesn't work. And so far, what governments have been saying in Africa is, what is it that works? If it works, then we'll go by it. So that's a great opportunity for Africans and for open source in Africa. The other thing which I see as an opportunity is that open source allows startups. So African business people are engaging open source. So the argument that African policies is using is fine. So this is a homemade technology. This is technology from home. It is easier to adopt. So that is one of opportunity. Now, it's not, corruption is not only inherent in Africa, but we know that big corporations, software vendors, are not just selling software, they're also selling money, trying to get decision makers to buy their projects, to buy their software. And
Maybe we'll see these problems just a little later.
Yes.
We're going to have an overview,
yeah,
a general overview of the different contexts. And so I would like Mr. Mazzoni to tell us about the context in Brazil and why the Brazilian government decided to have such a policy, such a voluntary policy towards free software.
Good morning. I speak in Portuguese in my friend's translation.
It's okay.
Bom, Brasil é um país de dimensões muito grandes e de poder extremamente distribuído.
Brazil is a very huge country with power, it's absolutely distributed.
Nós temos as políticas do governo federal, mas também temos várias políticas dos governos regionais.
So you have federal politics and you have regional politics.
Nós tivemos, a partir do ano de 1999, uma série de governos provinciais e regionais que estabeleceram como política o uso do software livre.
From 1999, we had some regional governments that say that promoted the huge use of the free software.
Especialmente os governos regionais ao sul do Brasil.
Especially the people from the south Brazil.
Isto se fortaleceu no governo federal a partir do governo Lula em 2003.
In 2003, with the Lula government, it has been enhanced in the federal government from this house initiative.
A partir do governo Lula, nós temos uma determinação do uso de software livre a partir da estrutura do governo eletrônico brasileiro.
So from this time, you have a decision, governmental decision at the federal level to use free software.
Nós também temos hoje a nossa política, ela é uma política que lida com a qualificação dos serviços de governo com interoperabilidade com os estados usando software livre.
To do the politics is to deal with the qualification of the use of the free software. Federal government.
Ao mesmo tempo que nós tínhamos que incluir mais cidadãos brasileiros no uso da tecnologia da informação.
At the same time, but the main idea is to include a major number of Brazilian citizens in this initiative.
O uso de tecnologia para alcançar os serviços para esses cidadãos precisou se criar também uma rede de inclusão digital, uma rede hoje de mais de 5.000 telecentros no Brasil.
To use this technology to include the maximum number of citizens in this initiative, it has been necessary to create a network of more than 5,000 centers.
Com a política econômica que fortaleceu ou até mesmo aumentou em muito a classe média brasileira, também se adotou políticas para as inclusões individuais.
In the same time, the general politic allowed to have an agreement in the middle class in Brazil, so you have to adopt some general politic.
E hoje, com um programa de computador para todos, nós somos o terceiro país em venda de computadores individuais no mundo.
In terms of computer for everybody, Brazil is the third country in the world today.
E toda essa expansão por um lado dos serviços e por outro lado do acesso, se deu baseado em soluções com software livre.
And visibility, it means the service from one side and the access on the other side, everything is based on free software.
Então nós temos uma política de inclusão, de uso direto de software livre pela cidadania e temos uma política de desenvolvimento e uso de tecnologia de software livre para a qualificação dos serviços públicos brasileiros.
That's right. You have no way, what we call digital inclusion, which is a service oriented to the customer. On the other hand, you have the qualification of this from the from the perspective of the government entities to use it.
Esse é o desenho da nossa política de uso de software livre. Quer dizer, usamos software livre para inclusão e para qualificação dos serviços e integração com as outras esferas de governo.
So this is the resume of the rules. You have inclusion, integration and qualification, the three legs of the stuff.
Thank you very much for this presentation. So we have seen two very different contexts between Africa, which is mainly discovering free software, and Brazil, which has a very voluntary policy to free software. Mr. Krishnan, you have maybe a situation which is in between, and could you tell us more about that in India?
Yeah, thanks, Alex. Morning, everybody. Before I go into open source per se in India, maybe I should just summarize the general scene of IT as it happens in India. India, of course, is well known for its IT, but you probably realize that it's almost exclusively export-oriented. You know, about 90% of revenue in IT that India has comes from exports, with the result that we have something like 10-12% of the local population alone which has access to IT. It's a stark thing. In the sense, IT really hasn't penetrated to upwards of 80% of people. There are two issues there, why does it happen? One is for the cost, affordability, right? Second is the language issue, because in India, English is spoken by about 5-6% of people, right? Or understood maybe by 10%. That means 90% of people don't understand, and all IT is in English. So we have a problem of affordability on one hand, language incompatibility on the other, because of which, you know, the access is limited to 10-12%. So it's obvious that, you know, to cut the cost barrier, it's partly to take care of the cost barrier, we have to sort of go into the open source way. Another thing about India is that we have about 300 million cell phones. As you know, we are probably the second largest cell phone market in the world. And that's probably the only medium through which we can reach the large number of people. So when I say 90% of people don't have access, if they have to have, it has to be delivered over the cell phone. So we have whole new technological requirements, software and hardware wise, right? And so it's very obvious that we need to have a policy about it in terms of that can cut costs of software and that can make software services available in the Indian languages. At the moment, the bad news is that there isn't much of a policy really in place. Because, okay, like in many countries, we have a federal government and then we have a provincial or state governments, and many things kind of fall between the two stools, you know, who has to make policy and so on. With the result, neither party makes much of policy. Some states, more progressive states, have, you know, maybe as recent as 6 months back, come up with certain policy pronouncements. And central government is working on some roadmap. I just saw first draft last week in Delhi, which is not quite policy really. Because when I say policy, what we need is, we need a policy that incentivizes force use. Like for example, if we have a department of government which wants to use open source, actually they are not rewarded in any way. They just have to work that extra and for no reward. So we need our policies about how do you incentivize people who are willing to use force? How do you maybe create funds, you know, special funds, venture funds for, you know, startups which can work in open source. We need to have policy about education, because you know, education is an area where open source can, you know, can easily and in a natural way get in. We don't quite have policy there. So things like that, lots of areas we need policies. For example, language computing. We have no policy on language computing. We need to incentivize, we need to have some framework. I think this slowly things are happening, and open source would be there one of the players to push this accessibility issue to majority populations. So I hope next time I'm here, I have better news to tell you about the Indian policies. Thank you.
Okay, so in India you have a big opportunity with digital inclusion. Between multilingualism and the accessibility, the affordability of the IT equipment. Now I'm turning to my fellow Europeans, and in Europe, of course, we don't have the same stakes about digital inclusion. It's not such a gap. We have a better IT equipment than can be in India or Africa, and maybe some of the stakes are somewhere else. So what can you tell us about the opportunities that FLOSS offers to Europe, Mr. Villasanti?
Well, maybe I am going to talk about some opportunities that for some people maybe are a little bit outside the picture today, but I have to say that in the European Commission, in the Director General of Information Society, we believe that those are going to shape the technology landscape of the future. And I am going to use only a couple of words here, so it would be Internet of Services and Convergence. And I believe that this is going to be a major opportunity for Europe for different reasons. First, Internet is going to be our land, and services will be what they will be there in our land. Okay? So Internet will be populated by millions of services that people will use, will be adapted, will be flexible, etc., etc. Therefore, I think that the more that we have that perspective, the better. Second, that this perspective of the Internet of Services is very much linked to the convergence of basically three industries: IT, telecom, and media. We are talking here most of the time about IT. But the two other industries, telecom and media, are very, very powerful, are very, very important, and Europe is very, very strong on those two. So the more that we evolve toward this convergence of these three industries, the better. I have to say that in that respect, the companies that are showing the path towards the future are really embedding in themselves these philosophies. If we go to Google, Amazon, Waze, some of these companies that are really combining these elements of telecommunication, media, and information technology. And now, if these are opportunities, to me, we have to grasp them. And in order to exploit them, to make use of them, to me, one of the most promising ways is to play the open card. The open card means that you have to share the information, that you have to collaborate with others, that you have to play with the rules of the future. And these rules of the future, we see them already now, that is open innovation, that is working on networks, etc. And just to conclude, if we will meet here in 20 years from now, it is very likely that the key technology players, the key companies in this sector, will not be the ones that today are the key players, they will be a different ones. So I think that this is basically the opportunity that we have to aim at, and from my point of view, Internet of Service and Convergence are key words in this.
Thank you, Mr. Hammerstein. Maybe you have a different point of view to share with us?
Yes, yes I do. Good morning. The question of open source, free and open software, sharing information, is the theme of the struggle for social justice, I would say for ecological sustainability as well, and for many of the issues that we have before us. We talk about fusion of different sectors, but we cannot just preach, we have to practice. We have to practice what we preach. Yesterday in the European Parliament, I presented an opinion on access to documents. It was being video streamed by the service of the European Parliament. And in my report, I was saying that I'm sorry, but many of my constituents cannot follow this video streaming because they don't have Windows Media. The response of the European Commission was, well, that is no problem. We could send them the text by mail. The issue of open source, the issue of interoperability, technological neutrality are very, very important issues. And the issue of fighting against monopolies as well, and I think it's very commendable that the European Commission has had a staunch position, very positive, for example, in suing Microsoft on monopoly practices. Nevertheless, the institutions, the European institutions themselves, in their practice of public procurement, have not been a positive example, but a negative example. We are locked in the European Parliament, we are locked in the European Commission, we are locked in the Council. I cannot open up a document that my constituents from Extremadura, in Spain, the regional government uses open source. I can't open up those documents in the European Parliament. My constituents cannot communicate with me. They cannot see me on video streaming. This is a scandal. It's a question of democracy. It's a question of communication. It's a question of access of public documents. And it's a scandal. So this is just an example within our institutions, obviously. When this is taken to world scale, we're talking about the positions of the European Commission when it negotiates. Now, I'm not going to go into the details, many international agreements about... I'm not going to mention today either the real needed fusion between energy systems and IT, which I think needs interoperability, needs open sources. If we're going to confront climate change, one of the key issues is that all of the electricity grids of the world have to have communication with the users and the consumers of that electricity for it to be efficient. I won't go into it. And this will necessarily mean open standards. So how are we going to confront this? We're confronting it in the European Parliament to this practice, what we preached, with a petition that's been signed by dozens of firms, thousands of people. It's called openparliament.eu. You can see it on the webpage. And we are fighting for a new public procurement policy of the European institutions themselves, because we've done a study and we found out that more than 25% of the public procurement in IT in the European Union mentions the name of one firm they're going to hire. This violates every single directive with what has to do with public procurement in the European Union. And it is, the European Union is not doing anything about it. I mean, in some countries, I think it was the Czech Republic, They mentioned in one call for some service, 78 times one company. They're saying, we have to hire these services. So this is a scandal. So we have a petition before the European Parliament to change this situation, asking for a response. And there are many other initiatives for digital rights. I won't go into there are many political issues that we have on the table in the European Parliament to fight over the issue of software patents, which is still being pushed for in many ways. There are other digital rights, and the struggle for interoperability, which I think is probably one of the key struggles within the field of software, but I think it should be extended. And as far as sharing and common knowledge, this could be extended, for example, to the field of research. We have a tremendous struggle of sharing knowledge in research, and how can this take place? And it is a question of social justice in the world, but also within Europe, and it affects all of the small and medium-sized firms. The small and medium-sized firms, the key to innovation in Europe are clusters. And I won't go on anymore because it's too many subjects. We talk a lot about, it's the buzzword, clusters, but the key to clusters is to have interoperability, common technological ideas, and to be able to share knowledge. The key to scientific innovation, I was just reading on the train today, people in the field of physics, how they can share their scientific documents. All of these issues are on the table, so the issue of social justice and openness is really one, a contemporary issue, and it's an issue that is in many, many different fields. So I think it's really great, your initiative to have this forum, and what many of you are fighting in many different fields, whether it be business or our field that is politics. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Hammerstein. Maybe I will let Mr. Biasente answer you about a few points. Maybe you would like to give some complimentary elements. about the hindrances to the development of free software, maybe the public tenders in Europe, or the problems of interoperability?
Well, not necessarily to answer, maybe to complement it. I may say that I could share many of the views expressed here. And I think that many people, not only at the European level, but also at national and regional level, may share these concerns. Progressing on that is something that has proved to be more difficult. And it has proved to be more difficult because it is, I don't think that these topics are at the high level in the political agenda. So I think that it is different to discuss this in some fora, but then to have really politicians making specific proposals. This is becoming more common, but it has not been a tradition like as we have seen in other technology domains, like for instance on communications, on which there have been policies also broadband for many years, on access to internet and other matters. Some things, however, to complement. You have mentioned the cases of competition in which the European Commission has had a very proactive initiative. I think that these are even kind of models or single initiatives in the world, I would say, against some very large undertakings. I refer to that very clearly. On public procurement, we also see that there are some programs in the Commission, like EWC, that is acting very, very usefully, I think, on those matters. For instance, they have developed this European public license, the UPL, that is a mechanism by which the public administrations they refer to open licenses. Now there is a strong debate in the Commission on the European Interoperability Framework. This is the second version. The first version made also already a reference to the definition of open standards that was not shared by many people, especially by large companies. So I think that the points that that you have mentioned now, they are very, very visible to us in the Commission, and I think that there are some initiatives on that. Of course, one would always like to be more proactive on these matters. Let me just give one additional piece of information. Last November, Commissioner Reding is the European Commissioner for Information Society and Media. She made a speech in which she invited industry to provide their inputs for a possible software strategy. What would be, from the view of industry, the elements for a software strategy. And there has been something like 9 or 8 contributions coming from individual companies. The largest software company in Europe is one of those. And also from associations, the European Software Association and others. And then they list a series of issues on which they believe that it could be good to have some policy attention. And the issues that they mentioned are the ones that we have been talking about here. They have talked about standards, interoperability, public procurement, IPRs, and some other more general issues that are important, research and development, skills, entrepreneurship. Now, the question is that the contributions from these groups of industry are very different. And I think that in each of these areas, it would be good to have an agreement on what to do, but reaching that agreement is not that, that useful. So, just to conclude, I don't think that I need necessarily to reply. As I said, I share very much some of your comments. I think that the Commission is doing something. Member states and regions are also taking some initiatives on that, but I think that finding a playground that will give to Europe a positive position in relation to the future, I think that is far from what we have now, probably from the news of some.
Thank you very much. So we talked about the public tenders and the problems of having oriented on some specific technologies, have some public tenders that are oriented, is a real problem. We can maybe switch to you were talking, Mrs. Mokama, about corruption in Africa, and maybe that can be a similar approach, and maybe tell us also about the issue of standards in Africa and the fact that some countries, only a few countries, are aware of the stakes behind the standards.
Just a few minutes ago, he was talking about public tenders. That is when the tenders go public. Huh? Sometimes they don't even go public. And you just hear that it's been bought and it's been delivered. And that's all you can tell. Now, one thing about open source in phosphor, we are not just promoting open source, but we are promoting development according to the open source model, which means a lot of transparency and a lot of accounting. Now, I think in the next 20 years, the issue will be, is are we going to be system-based or people-based? If you've noticed the countries in Africa that are making efforts into open source policies, if you check them well, they'll be about the same countries that are making efforts in democracy and good governance. And so both of them work hand in hand. And it's not possible for us to support democracy in Africa without supporting choices, including technological choices. Now about standards, one of the other thing is capacity building. Inasmuch as we might not like what is happening in the policy space, we also must be faithful enough to accept that our leaders lack the capacity to decide. Okay? When they are well educated on an issue, decision making becomes more strategic. But for now, most political decisions in Africa are still being made according to party lines, not according to sustainable development. And so coming to technology standards, only South Africa so far has adopted what we call the MIOs, Minimum Interoperability Standards, for technology procurement. And if you can confirm from the ISO, the International Standardization Organization, South Africa is the only country that has had, that is a P member of ISO in technology issues for the past 10 years. Kenya came in last 3 years, and Cote d'Ivoire came in this year. So in the 53 countries in Africa, only 3 of them have mirror committees at their standards board on technology. And I'm one of the founding members of the technology standards in the country where I live. So they go to these things, they are observers, they can't vote, they just sit and they go back home. And here we are adopting standards that Africans do not understand anything about. And in the next 20 years, they will be like, oh, we should have known this. A third of the global languages are spoken in Africa. And language diversity do not come into any part in any discussions about technology standards. Let me end here by intimating you about what is happening now. The people, the IT people we have today have understood that open source is sustainable development. So what they are doing is very strategic. Don't take it to the political level. Just get the system to work and let it work on the process. Most of the e-governance infrastructure in Africa today is open source, but the leaders don't know it. Because if you begin that discussion, you will lose time and you will lose work. So the technical guys are just getting the work done and not saying anything. And so in the next 10 years, they will find out we've been running open source all along.
So don't tell the leaders about open source. Better do open source on your own than tell the leaders that do not have any skills about it, do not have the knowledge to understand the stakes.
Just one thing. This is December. In October, a certain group of countries came to us and said we need to work together. And we said, okay, these are the things we can work together as the first foundation. And we said, procurement. Taxpayers need to know how much we are spending on IT and exactly how we are spending it. They sent it's a paper of about 10 pages, and that part of procurement, they're like, could you please remove this for now? We don't want our governments to start talking about this. Governments don't want to talk about procurement policies. They don't want transparency in procurement now.
Because it would make some embarrassing things appear that they don't want to. They don't even want to see. Maybe. Before I ask Mr. Mazzoni his opinion about all these problems that other countries are facing, I will ask Professor Krishnan to tell us what hindrances there are in India to the development of FLOSS. Is there a special problem about software counterfeiting and the fact that people don't know about free software, or is it essentially a problem of a digital divide? Can you tell us?
Yes.
In a few words.
Yes, few words. First hindrance, of course, as we said, is a lack of a policy on the federal government that would help. So hopefully that will happen. Second is that to deliver open source or any solution, you have to have businesses which can sustain this. So today, open source businesses in India are not viable, almost not viable. There are other small companies trying to survive. So unless there is some way they can become viable businesses, it's very difficult to deliver this. And one of the problems earlier was that IT, as mentioned before, in India was export oriented. So they pay such huge salaries for engineers that for small companies like which want to deliver open source, it's impossible for them to get people, right? Hopefully, thanks to what's happening all over the world, we think that may improve because these large corporations are not going to pay like that. So hopefully, small businesses promoting open source will be able to get quality people. We are hoping that will happen. And another issue is the large-scale use of unlicensed software. So wherever you play, an open source business tries to promote its business, they find that customers are already in free software.
as in free beer,
particularly the small businesses, right? So hopefully that will change and be possible to do business in this area. So many things have to happen for this to move. Potentially, of course, a big, huge market out there, as I said, from 10%, if we have to become, let's say, 80% affording IT, it has to be open source. We just have to get there. Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Mazzoni, can you tell us your opinion about these problems that other areas are facing now for the development of free software? And did you have similar problems in Brazil?
Eu procurei, na primeira questão, dar uma dimensão do nosso problema.
The first question I tried to give a dimension of our context.
E creio que nós tivemos problemas em dimensões, temos problemas em dimensões também igualmente diferentes dentro do nosso país.
And we have problems in dimension and dimensions according to the scale of the country.
Ao mesmo tempo que nós tínhamos em 2002 uma quantidade de pessoas excluídas gigantesca.
At the same time, around 2002, a lot of quite a certain quantity of churned people.
Nós já éramos 60% de todo o recurso de informática da América do Sul.
We were even like that. We were about 60% of the whole resources in South America.
Nós éramos um país muito moderno para poucos.
A very modern country for few people.
Portanto, nós tínhamos uma dimensão política e estratégica a partir do início do governo Lula.
That's why we took a dimension and politics and strategy from the beginning of the Lula government.
Nós tínhamos que começar um processo de independência do nosso país.
And we have to start a process of independence of the country.
Independência no campo político.
Political size.
Independência no campo econômico.
Economical size.
Independência no campo tecnológico.
Technological size.
e vamos chegar ao nível das pessoas, porque essa independência precisa também estar no coração das pessoas.
And we get to the people because this independence has to be in the heart of the people.
O campo político, nós resolvemos isso no processo eleitoral.
In the political way, we can resolve it in the electoral process.
Derrotando as camadas mais conservadoras da nossa sociedade.
Beating the most conservative people of our society.
Com ligações históricas com os Estados Unidos do Norte.
With historical links with the USA.
No campo da economia, nós resolvemos o aspecto econômico interno e criamos recursos internos para incluir as pessoas através dos programas sociais.
Ok, in the economic way, we have created some manner to include people through social programs.
Temos hoje uma economia robusta.
The economy is solid.
No campo da tecnologia, esse foi um pouco mais difícil, tem sido mais difícil.
Technology is quite a little bit harder.
Porque esse precisa também iniciar pelas pessoas.
Because we have to start, just like always, by the people.
O brasileiro, que é esse povo miscigenado,
Brazilian is a mixed people,
que, portanto, é um povo de riqueza humana fantástica,
with a very rich human quality,
precisava se resgatar também no que ele era capaz de fazer um país independente.
But had to make mention that he was able to realize, to achieve an independent country.
Então nós tivemos todo, estamos tendo todo um campo de dificuldades no que diz respeito à autoestima das pessoas e as pessoas acreditarem que são capazes.
And we had some huge difficulty with this background, with autoesteem.
Então, isso se reflete nas organizações.
Isso reflete nas organizações.
As organizações também tinham um alto padrão de dependência, portanto. Então, quando se fala de software livre, se fala de independência tecnológica.
So when you think about free software, you think about technological independence.
Portanto, podemos andar sozinhos.
So we can walk alone.
Mas também temos que ter a consciência de que andar sozinhos temos as responsabilidades aumentadas.
But we have to be conscious that walking alone means have more responsibilities.
E primeiro foi a primeira dificuldade, a mudança cultural para não ser dependente.
This has been the first difficulty. The cultural change for not to be dependent.
E é claro que a gente disputa também com a questão econômica, porque as grandes empresas norte-americanas nos veem como um grande mercado.
And we have the same kind of approach for the economic aspect, because the huge North American company see Brazil as a huge market.
Nós sermos independentes, mas ao mesmo tempo estarmos juntos num grande movimento mundial.
We were independent, but we are within a huge worldwide movement.
Mas que não tem a bênção dos nossos irmãos do Norte.
But somewhere not without the help of our friends from the North.
Então essa dificuldade cultural foi uma dificuldade que ela aparece nas organizações e nas pessoas.
So this cultural difficulty appears in organization as in people.
Então, essa é uma mudança difícil de fazer e estamos enfrentando ela.
And this is a change quite hard to do, and it's a change we are facing right now.
No mundo do software livre não existem verbas de marketing.
In the freeware, free software world, there is no marketing funds.
Então, lutamos com o nosso trabalho contra muitas vezes patrocínios que vão até mesmo para as organizações ou para as pessoas.
And we work against that with our work, basically.
E isso na América Latina sempre foi muito dramático.
And in South America, I mean, the do marketing on the other side has always been a very huge problem.
Nós só estamos conseguindo enfrentar porque temos hoje um governo efetivamente do povo brasileiro.
And we can face that because we have today in Brazil a government which is effectively from the people.
Não há dificuldades tecnológicas.
There is no technological difficulty.
Há dificuldades culturais e comerciais.
There are cultural and commercial difficulties only.
E eu gostaria de fazer uma última colocação sobre dificuldades.
And one, just one last talk about difficulty.
Que também é a questão de que, no mundo do software livre, nós não podemos trabalhar com a mesma lógica do software comercial.
It is that in the free software world we cannot work with the same logic that the commercial software world.
Muitas vezes nós comparamos produtos.
Sometimes we compare products.
E na verdade nós temos que olhar o mundo do software livre como as possibilidades e não como os produtos acabados.
Where we have to look at the free software world as opportunity and not as problem.
Quando nós nos utilizamos de soluções desenvolvidas aqui na Alemanha,
when we use solutions developed here in Germany,
não, elas não estão acabadas para nossa necessidade.
Yes, they are not there for our needs.
Mas elas são excelentes oportunidades para rapidamente a gente chegar às nossas soluções.
A very good opportunity for we are able quickly to get to our own solution.
E ao distribuir isso, nós podemos também trazer outros países para a mesma cooperação. Que essa é a grande oportunidade que nós estamos tendo hoje na América Latina.
And this is a big opportunity we have today in South America.
Mas isso muda a cabeça das pessoas.
But this has to make the people change their mind.
Portanto, nós estamos muito perto dos Estados Unidos e muito longe de Deus, como dizia Fidel Castro.
So we are very near from USA, very far from God, just like said Fidel Castro.
Thank you very much. So for you, free software is also an opportunity for the whole South American continent. And since we have only a few minutes left, I will ask you all to give me a few words to finish. And I will start with Mr. Mazzoni to end your speech. Do you think by 2020, since it is the goal of our roadmap, do you think that the vision where free software is a basis of an open society will have won? Or do you think that the vision where some companies or some governments had better have a controlled, a centralized society, which of these visions will have won by 2020?
Sem dúvida nenhuma, o esforço de governo é importante para alterar as situações da sociedade.
Obviously, the effort of the government is important to change the society.
Mas é necessário se criar todo um ecossistema que mantenha o processo operando.
But you have to create an ecosystem to keep the process active.
Nós temos que continuar buscando as novas relações dessa nova economia.
We have to keep on seeking some more relationship to the new economy.
Onde o esforço das pessoas tem valor muito superior aos royalties.
Where the people work is more valuable than royalties.
Nós temos hoje no Brasil a construção de muitas empresas que estão se colocando como empresas de software livre.
And we have actually today in Brazil a lot of companies which are created as free software companies.
Apesar do governo falar muito de software livre, nós temos já grandes corporações que usam software livre de forma intensa.
And in spite of the government speak about that, we have a lot of big corporations using free software.
Só como exemplo, nossa rede de varejos hoje deve ter mais de 70% das empresas são empresas que usam software livre.
For instance, distribution network is more than 70% of firms that use software.
Se aproveitando da principal característica do software livre, que seu desenvolvimento está fora da indústria da tecnologia da informação.
Making the home that the principal characteristic of the software, the free software, is that it is but the development is outside the industry of development.
Portanto, a minha visão de futuro é que nós teremos uma sociedade que vai usar a tecnologia de informação de forma independente.
So my vision for the future is that we are get a society that will use the technology information in an independent way.
Não uma guerra que um elimina o outro.
No war to kill the other one.
Mas uma situação que as pessoas passam a ter o direito de optar.
But a situation where the people gains the right to choose.
E especialmente no nosso caso, na América Latina, uma grande oportunidade de nós nos pensarmos como cidadãos americanos e não norte-americanos.
And especially in South America, we use the opportunity to think American citizens and not North American citizens.
E portanto, eu creio que a economia vai absorver essa mudança de conceito, porque tecnologicamente não há nenhuma dificuldade.
I believe that the society, that the economy, we input this change of concept between technology side and no problem.
Através de grandes redes de cooperação.
Through huge cooperation networks.
Independente do território.
Independently of the territory.
Who would like to talk next?
Okay, I don't think the question of what will be in 20 years, is it the open model or the closed model? I don't think it's a good question, because even today, the open model is already tops. And I think everyone here who has read the book, The Cathedral and the Bazaar, okay? The cathedral is the system. It's this big, and then you come in and you sit in your place, and you respect the priest, and the priest is the one who says whatever it is that God has given him, and then you do like this and you go away. But that system is over and gone. The new type is the bazaar. It's distributed network, and everybody brings it together. The question is, in the next 20 years, how many of the big organizations we know today would have been able to change themselves to adapt to the new models? And so he spoke about technological independence. As for us in Africa, the challenge would be, first of all, to fight for independence in technology the same way Africans fought for political independence. And when the government would have done that, the individual citizens will now fight the government for individual expression, the right of expression and right of citizenship, the way the government fought others. And so we are moving towards a person-centered system, not a system-centered people. So in 20 years, you like it or you don't like it, we are all going open. And the better you get open, the longer you live. If you keep closed, you probably won't live long enough to see to be around in the next 20 years.
Thank you. Who's next?
I think the tide is changing. I just came back 2 days ago from the United States, and I think there's a lot of questioning of their strong IPR regime, software patents, and it seems that when you hear many of my colleagues in the European Parliament or in the European Commission, it seems sometimes we are more papist than the Pope. We are sometimes going in the opposite direction. That the ideas of an economy that is based on making money out of money and not producing any real innovation is one of the factors behind the present economic and financial crisis. It's an economy that has moved away from real creation of ideas for products. So I think we're going to move away from the innovation chill, the patent tickets, the trolls, and in the future, I think the future will be open, or simply, there will be no future. No, there will be no future. When I think of the concrete areas of this change from a type of economy where cooperation, services, people working in network will be the basis of the economy, as opposed to just managing one's portfolio. And I think this is going to be a change we're going to see, and it's necessary. It's necessary in the area of energy. It's necessary to create these digital ecosystems to preserve our natural ecosystems. Otherwise, if we don't have open standards, if we don't have common technological ways that we can share, we're not going to be able to deal with the tremendous challenges we have that I think even put into doubt our survival on the planet. So I think if we have this system, the information systems, change, like many of the ways the people in this room have talked about change, and if we extend this model to economic and social models in other areas of the economy, I think humanity will be going on the right track. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Just maybe at the risk of being unpopular with my comments, I don't think that in 2020 all the codes will be open. I don't think that that will be the case. This is my personal view. This is not the position of the Commission. I don't think that that will be the case. I think that there will be fish and meat, and that would be very good, but fish and meat, and not as we had 5 years ago, when you had only meat. Meat, and
vegetarian.
that was just one example to kind of expand it in ways. However, so that is, as I said, my personal view. I don't think that all the code will be open. However, I firmly believe that openness is in the sense of the historic. So nobody could stop that. So that evolution towards openness is going to stay here for some time. Nobody could stop it.
Professor Krishnan, the last words.
Thanks. 2020 across the world, I wouldn't know, because in many senses we are not one world, in so many worlds here, right? So I wouldn't know that, but I can talk about my country, which itself is the world. I think a lot more democratization that's taking place in our country, enormous rate. So I'm sure by 2020 we would be a very powerful democracy internally. And whatever decision they take, I think that's what it's going to be. It could be open source. It looks like it could be open source, because but one doesn't know. But I'm just saying that the direction is much greater, the democratic process going on. So I'm not really worried whether we're open source or otherwise, but the local processes are the right processes. So I think they take the right decisions. And in India, of course, government policies don't really drive anything, if you ask me. Government itself is a minor player. For making anything happen. They probably stand in the way of things happening, but they don't really make things happen. So it's the people's initiatives doing things by themselves, right? With increasing democratization, I think that would take the right direction. And for me, it has been really useful being here with all of you. And for example, this feeling here about open source and openness, it's going to be helpful to us in our work there. So I should thank the organizers, Alex Lauber, for giving me the opportunity to be here in this moment. Thank you.
Thank you, all of you, for coming and for your very valuable contributions. So we talked about technological independence, we talked about business opportunities, and we talked about empowering the people to be in the center of the system and not for the system to be in the center of the, to be guiding the people. So I think that all your predictions are very optimistic, and I guess that that's the way we are going. Openness is in the center of history. But I guess also that we have a few fights by then, and we talked about the software patents, we talked about open standards. These are very big stakes that we will have to handle by then. Thank you very much, all of you.
Thank you, Alice. Thank you, the